So that's really the first point that we have on our outline, is that it is, or he is ordained of God, or called, made a priest, a high priest, and that he is the Son. God commissions him, gives him this honor, gives him this responsibility. And it's in contrast to Aaron. It's the same thing. God chose out Aaron, that Aaron would be, that he might serve me in the priest's office. And so, again, it always starts with God. God is making provision for the needs of men. And so the greatest one to meet the need of men is this blessed one, the Lord Jesus, who he is ordained and called by God to this office of priest, high priest.
Good. Sorry, go ahead.
Just to confirm a point that was made earlier, in all the different dispensations, from the beginning right on through till eternity, we have priesthood brought in. And so it shows us the need for that, whether we're under the law, even there, God brought that in to Moses. And having said that, I'd like to just point out there are seven occasions in this epistle where it speaks of what we have. We have. And it's wonderful to realize. The first one is in chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Just bring out that point. We have a great high priest. Now, it's remarkable for the Christian, for us today. It's not something that we aspire to get or to gain, but it's something that we have. And so he points that out to us. And the second time where we have is mentioned in chapter 6. We haven't touched on that now at this time, but I'll mention it here, that in verse 18, or it's really verse 19, it speaks about the hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which reach and entereth in that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So here we see the Lord, he has gone there, and it is as an anchor. This hope we have is an anchor for our souls. We need an anchor today, but we have it. And this is so precious. We have an anchor, and it reaches within the veil where Christ is. Nothing can touch that. You know, when you are tossed in a ship and you cast your anchor and it might not hold. But this anchor will always hold. It's there, anchored in him who is there within the holiest, ever living there. The other time we have, the third time, and I won't go to the others, but this in verse chapter 8, now the things that we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest. We have. And he brings in the contrast so that always to point out the great fact that we have something that they did not have any before Christ came. He is the one who fulfilled an answer to every type that was given before. The others were all, and the contrast is made then with Aaron. But this is the great thing we have, dear saints of God. This is what we, and it's for us to take hold of this as a daily situation, when there are the problems or situations that we face. Ever remember, we have an high priest there. We have an anchor. And such a high priest became us.
It was forever God's intent that the Lord Jesus would be our great high priest. And I think it's found in chapter 5, verse 6. This quotation is from a psalm, Psalm 110. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And later in the book of Hebrews, we realize that the Lord has brought in the second, meaning this psalm follows all of the law, so to set aside the first. And yet, it is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus that he would be a priest out of the order of Melchizedek. And yet, it refers back to an event prior to the law of Moses being given in Genesis 14. So, already God had intended to show us there would be a different priesthood outside of the priesthood of Aaron. And this is the one from which Christ is linked. And we know that Melchizedek, as he's presented in Scripture, he has no lineage. He just suddenly appears, and he suddenly disappears. He is eternal, we might say, in that aspect. And the Lord Jesus is just like Melchizedek. His order is not of Aaron. In fact, the very existence of the Aaronic priesthood shows man's failure. Why do I say that? Well, if you read in Exodus 19, verse 6, it was God's intent that the whole nation would be priests. But when failure came in, he limited to one tribe. And the fact that you had to be from Aaron's descendants was a statement of man's failure already. Because God called his people from Egypt so that they would worship him. And he wanted everyone in that nation to be a priest. A kingdom of priests, it says in Exodus 19, verse 6. But yet it had failure come in. And now it was going to be limited to one tribe. And this shows a contrast between the Lord Jesus' great high priesthood and Aaron's priesthood, in that his priesthood, the Lord Jesus, came from perfection, and it continues in perfection, whereas the Aaronic priesthood came out of failure and continued in failure.
Question. Did the priesthood of the Lord Jesus started on the glory or on earth? I keep in mind that when any priest had to offer a sacrifice, as a priest offered a sacrifice. When the Lord went to the cross, Hebrews 9 says that he offered himself on the cross. So when he was on the cross, because he offered a sacrifice, and the sacrifice, it is himself, and he offered himself, did his priesthood started on the cross, or we had to wait it to go to let he be in the glory?
I would say on the cross, because he had to make atonement, and one of the functions of the priesthood is to make an offering, sacrifice for sins, and the Lord Jesus Christ had to make an atonement for sins on the cross as our high priest, and then he ascended. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4 we see that speaks about our great high priest Jesus passed into the heavens. Let me read that verse. In verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So he's already has been a high priest as making an offering, one perfect and full sacrifice for sins on the cross. And the cross also has terminated the old Jewish priesthood. When the Lord Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished," we read that the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. It was the end of old Jewish system and the inauguration of the priesthood and Christianity.
I think that's a vital point too, and I want to underline what the brother said. His priesthood was on the cross. He could not be priest on earth before the cross. Mm-hmm. So that's important to keep in mind. But the greatness and the even the more exalted position than Aaron is that on the cross he was not only just a priest. He was the priest, he was the sacrifice, and he was the offerer. Mm-hmm. Aaron is the priest. He needed to bring a sacrifice, and somebody needed to bring it to offer it. But on the cross, that's the greatness of his person. Again, the dignity that he put on this office, that he was the priest, he was the offerer and he, because by one sacrifice he offered. And he was the perfect sacrifice that satisfied the holy demand of God in everything. That's his priesthood as far as atonement is concerned. But his priesthood for intercession and pleading for weaknesses, that's what we see in his place now at the right hand of God in glory for the believers today, his present ministry today.